January 3rd, 2020. It's a lot from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Happy 2020, everybody. We're into the new decade, new year. Bye-bye, 2019. 2 decades of this century down into the third one we plunge. Started off this show with something kind of special. This is John Coltrane about 4 days before he turned 20 in Oahu, Hawaii, with the Navy Band, doing Sweet Miss, 1946, July 13th. It was a mixed band, which was kind of trippy for those days. If I wasn't around, but I can imagine. So, and I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of John Coltrane playing in this band, trippy sunglasses. And he's playing alto here, but I think it was Clean and Vincent who got him into tenor, but you could still tell it's him, man. It's a trip. And then we had something from my guest, because although I'm not with Brother Matt, I mean my pad, I'm not man alone, because due to those geniuses in Estonia with their software developing, I'm talking about the Skype creators, I got AJ Sagar with me from Amsterdam. Welcome aboard, AJ.
Lovely to be here, Mike, and good to be in touch with you again.
Yeah, and we got some brand new music from you, a project called Deutsche Ashram and a tune called Chimes, which I thought was good to ring in the new year with some chime, some Deutsche Ashram. Now, people might not know these foreign words. Germans call themselves Deutsch, and Ashram is kind of a church or a temple in India. Am I correct about that?
That's correct, yeah. The whole idea behind the name was I was looking for something hip and happening and kind of groovy, and those two words kind of fell into place. And the ashram bit I kind of like, well, because I'm Indian, that's my background, I'm a Hindu. And the Germans, they had a... Well, we all know their history from the past, but their Aryan past also had touched on Hinduism in a strange way. It was not for no reason that they used a swastika in reverse. It was based on the whole Hindu, the Hindu swastika, which we still use. But that wasn't the idea. I mean, I wasn't picking on the two words just to bring that association together, but I thought it was kind of like a cool, it had a cool ring to it.
I think some of the oldest hymns are the Veda hymns, which are, had Aryan kind of something in their foundation or something.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's interesting because you have to remember that the European race originated from the East, of course. So a lot of the things that pass through the cultures of Western, what we call term now Western Europe, actually originated way in the East, you know, from India, the whole Indus region. So there are strong associations there from the past.
Yeah, India, China, cradle civilizations, Egypt too. But Europe was a little later coming on. Over here, way later. Although there was people here who had something going, but it got kind of plowed.
Yeah.
Terrible. History. History is his story, not my story.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I got to see this band play live. Is that right? In Belgium?
Deutsche Ashram?
Didn't it was an opening for King? You were on twice, I think.
Yeah. How could I forget that? Of course, yeah.
I think there was two gigs like that where you actually played twice.
One of them might
have been Antwerp at Den Bosch.
We played down in, I think, in a place called Hasselt, and maybe in Antwerp as well. Yeah, in Antwerp we did. Yeah, that's right, because I played with Deutsche Ashram and with King Champion Sounds, so I played two shows on the same evening. We played with you, of course.
But this is way before the album was recorded, right?
This album is actually our second album. So when we played with you a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, I believe it was, our first album had been released at that point. So that was the first album came out 3 years ago. So and this is the follow up now. And we had actually been doing a bunch of shows 3 years ago to support that first album. So yeah.
Well, I got two of them. I think it was El Sueño de Marinario, which, by the way, is getting the third album mix. So I got a September-October Europe tour coming with those guys.
Fantastic.
So maybe we can play again together.
That would be amazing.
It'd be happening. I mean, I first played with you when you were doing Sound for Jay, and you had a band called Donkey, and you were actually doing bass.
That's right, yeah. Well, actually, Donkey, I remember we opened for you back in 1999 in the old FNR in Eindhoven.
Yeah, first
and
album.
I was... Yeah, that venue's moved to a new complex now. But yeah, I remember I opened back there, we opened for you guys there. And yeah, I was on bass and vocal duties in Donkey. And yeah, I was, you know, I was holding on to my Fender Precision, my 74 Precision, which I still have and dearly love. And that was, you know, that was my first weapon of choice back in the day. I was inspired by... Jean-Jacques Bernel from The Stranglers and Steve Hanley from The Fall when I was a young kid, and that's the reason I picked up the bass in the first place. So, yeah.
FNAR, you know, Carlos, my Dutch dude, booker man for 25 years, he was a booker there when he was first getting into music after a record store gig. So we share. I remember playing with Bad Brains there. I haven't been to the new pad, the new...
I haven't been there either. You know what? It's strange. There's a whole the whole Dutch cultural scene has changed quite radically.
You
in
know
the
where
past.
That? Yeah, you know where that also happened was Utrecht, the new Tivoli. I've never been to.
That's actually that complex is. I've actually got used to it now because I've attended Le Guess Who Festival there many times now, so I kind of know the whole area and the complex. But it's a massive. They basically shut down a whole bunch of different venues in the city in Utrecht and brought all of those places under one roof. It took a bit of getting used to. It felt like I was going into either a big shopping mall or like an airport lounge, you know, places. It felt kind of weird, you know. It didn't have that kind of energy and vibe that you get when you go to a venue or to a gig, and you know, you feel the electricity. And I just felt, oh, what, you know, am I going shopping? Am I about to get onto about to board a plane or something? But you know, I've been there numerous times, and you know, it's yeah, I kind of get the vibe there now, and you know, I like it. It is it's okay. It's not the same like the old places, but you know, things move on. We've all got to move on with it. So yeah, but I
guess sometimes it don't work. They try to put a shit in factory in West Hollywood, and that. Man, it was lame.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, I mean,
there's something about putting a pad in a mall, but you know what I heard about the Utrecht one is it's one whole huge center.
It's
not
huge.
Part of a mall. Yeah, it's all kinds of different kind of art stuff. So.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they had serious teething problems. They'd invested millions and millions in there, and then, you know, after a few months, they realized that one of the main halls, concert halls, that was leaking noise out. That wasn't a good start, and then they found out that there was, you know, rain coming through somewhere else, so, you know, they had a few teething problems, but I think they're pretty much on track now.
You know, people might be tripping because you said you got India background. And you're talking about Holland, but your accent is English.
It is. Well, I mean,
Look, it's bitching. I'm a big fan of sailors. They go all over the place.
Well, that's what my life's been a bit like. You know, I was born in Kenya. My parents are Indian. They moved to Kenya. Well, my grandparents moved to Kenya like before the First World War because East Africa was a British colony, and India was a British colony as well in the past. So there was a huge movement of labour from India to East Africa. My parents were born in East Africa, but in Kenya, but educated in India. And in 76, when I was 10 and a half, we moved to Britain. And, you know, I lived in Glasgow for a few months, and then I moved down to England. And I lived in various places. And, you know, the final place I lived was in Manchester, which, you know, I grew up through the great times, you know, great music period of my life there. I saw many great acts passing through, and just saw the whole city bloom during its and just saw the cultural history of the city just rise and rise and rise. And and then I moved to Holland exactly 28 years ago. So yeah, I'm like a sailor. I've been moving around.
Yeah, it's all right with me. I'm into it. We need more sailors.
Absolutely.
What's your earliest music recollection? Was it in Manchester?
No, my earliest.
Or was it Kenya?
When I was a kid living in Kenya, my parents were huge Indian music film fans, and my dad had a really big collection of records, Indian records. So I used to listen to a lot of Indian music. We also had listened to a lot of Kenyan music as well. So, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, I was I heard a lot of African music through the radio. My folks had records, and we had friends who made music as well. So that was my earliest recollection, really. And then thereafter, moved to Britain in 76, and a kind of payoff from my parents for us having to make such a drastic move from East Africa to Europe, to Britain, was they gave my brother and I a radio. It was kind of to say, you know, we've dragged you halfway across the world, and hope, you know, here's something for you to just to alleviate the pain and the, you know, to make that transfer a little bit easier for you. Well, little did they know, but that kind of changed my life, because the first thing I did and tuned into thereafter was John Peel when I was 11, 12 years old, and that basically changed my life. And I just got into punk rock from 76, 77 onwards. I bought my first single in 78, my first album, 78, saw my first gig.
What was your first album? What was your first record?
My first single was No More Heroes by the Stranglers.
Yeah, Stranglers, right.
And my first album was the
second album, right?
Yeah, my first album was Black and White, also by the Stranglers. And I remember I sent
third album.
Yeah,
that's all I know. It's their first three records, but I saw them play at the Whiskey, and they were pretty good. They're pretty good.
Amazing live band.
A lot of those England bands, like the Jam and the Clash, the first album is good. Stranglers, a couple of records. But
I beg to differ. I think they held it together really well for the first three, four albums. I thought they were pretty, really consistent. The songwriting was extremely strong, and they didn't follow the trad pattern of the other punk bands. It wasn't, they were more like a prog punk band. You know, they dared to have keyboard solos. They dared to have crazy guitar solos, and they dared to go on a big jam. You know, they could lock into a jam and jam out for 10 minutes or something without breaking sweat. And we as kids, we were used to like three minute wonders, just keep it short, simple, don't play any more than three chords, don't sing about love, and just crack on with it. But those cats were just like, well, there is no fast rule, but this is our punk and we want to do it our way. And their songs were so strong. I thought, they carried a flame for me, which said, there are no rules. You can make your own rules within the whole context of punk rock, because punk rock started having rules in the end as well. It became the standard uniforms and the standard cliches and the logos and whatever else. And those cats kind of said, "Well, we don't care. We'll do it our way."
Well, so, what I was talking about more was like the second Clash, second Jam record. They just sounded like regular arena rock, wanting to be arena rock bands. It was, I already been through that. Stranglers, well, I've already been through that stuff too, but they did stay weird for a couple records more.
Yeah.
Then they kick out the singer and just do covers and shit.
Well, they did covers when the old Hugh Cornwell was there, but after that, they when the new singer guy came in, they still, I saw them a month ago in Amsterdam at the Melkweg.
Yeah.
And they were bruising. They took no prisoners. They were
The drummer's too old now, right? They got a new
Yeah,
and I heard he's the guy who funded the whole band. It wasn't for him. Like, he owned the bar where they started playing, right? Johnny Sox. But anyway, let's get into Deutsche Ashram here. So what was the beginnings of it, since I already missed the whole album?
I've been busy with different musical things, and I'd written a whole bunch of music which didn't really fit into a regular King Champion Sounds mold or any other mold or anything else. And I had a totally different direction. I'd been looking for somebody to sing on it, preferably female vocals. And I work in Amsterdam at a venue called Paradiso.
Oh, yeah.
And I happened to be downstairs in the coffee shop, like the lunch room. And I was talking to a lady behind who works there, and I'd met her a couple of times, and I was like, oh, you know, are you interested in music? Well, you know, do you love music? What kind of music do you like? Da, 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 the usual, you know, things you talk about. And I just asked her if she'd ever made music. She said she had, and I asked her what she did. She said she'd sung, and I kind of said, well, would you be interested in hearing some songs I've written to see if you'd like to sing on them? And she was like, yeah, sure. So I sent her the tracks. I sent her three tracks, actually. And a day later, I got these tracks back. She sent me something through WeTransfer, and I was like, what's this? So I downloaded it, put my headphones on, and started listening. And she demoed these vocals on it, and it was absolutely spellbinding. And I asked her if she wanted to do vocals on the other tracks, and she did, and we made a whole album together. So Marinda's her name, and she's a fantastic singer and great lyricist, and very, very talented lady. And we've been making music together ever since then. So this is our second album. You know, the first album came out, and we did a whole slew of shows all around Europe in support of it, and it's all DIY. I mean, we don't have any agents, we don't have any labels, we do it all ourselves. It's incredible amount of work we put in, people seem to have really dug, you know, the first album, and the reaction on this one, the second one, is really positive. So yeah, and it's great. It's really cool.
Did she write this "Leaf Cries Wolf"?
She did, yeah.
Okay, let's hear it. schedule.
We'll be right back. sit in a bar, relax, trying not to hold on to anything that's passing. Among the Lloydessers, beating his chest, dropping his hands to prove to the rest the legs of fashion, putting leech to the test. Goddamn, the minister curses, nursing his dream back to health, motioning to the bar, only bottom shelf from here. Mongo introduces himself to the woman as Lloyd. Barkeep asks the minister his thoughts on Freud, forms Lloyd and his flies. Lloyd reaches across the bar, top of the bike drops. The women gasp as the older men laugh, the glass is shattered. I raise my hand for the bill, but it doesn't matter. Now I'm on the highway with a close family friend, going back to father's farm, but the friend driving has no arms and asks for a hand. Sing, don't believe in those pretty boys combing their hair and shouting noise, doing all God's good deeds, never knowing what it is to truly. So I take the wheel, but as we stop, he turns me over to some guy, saying, I've tried to steal. Cop locks me up, starts to drive. Policeman, I feel your pain. Please stop spreading it to sustain any sort of order, any form of mortar. Press it just the same. Take it easy on you, white boy. Not like we treat the colored folks in Illinois. Christ, it's the 21st century. Those ideas are dead, you see. No, man, we still exist. As he takes the cuffs from my suffering childhood wrists. Soon enough, he's asking for forgiveness, as I bear witness. You're supposed to protect and serve. Those are only just words, he says, crashing into the station. I'm suddenly behind bars, and I see an old blind friend writing poems and a memoir, speaking of Jesus in one, and himself. Thanking you for my sister, I hear your brother is prison bound, a not agreeing on what he found. The day he woke, shackled down, like an animal put in the rounds. And outside of town, I hear the church bell ring, and the choir start to sing. It's not my time yet, a man screams. Don't worry, he's asleep, it's coming in dreams. Suddenly the bars melt, and somebody sings exactly the words I felt coming in here. Off I go running into the night. I follow the moon's light, and now the only man I trust is my cellmate, who I thrust hand in mine out of that hole, like giving vision to a moment. What were you in for? I finally asked, as the darkness began to pass. And my change was wrong. They forced women on me and told me to play along. That's what you get when you push from family creed. Leaders lead by greeting grief, designating gender as a small step on and up. Society's life. We embrace it at this time. I know you're making it back to your father's side. Maybe I'll see you in LA. You smile, staring into the sun. Someday. I saw a figure in the distance, so I took the path of least. least resistance. I felt I deserved it. There the Empress, glowing, positive dream. A book to me, she says. The title reads, The Limits of Men, shining clear in the daybreak. It's love that waits for me when you wake. Says the Empress, ignoring the mess. But how can you be sure? Men are not so pure, I answer with a cry. All one can do is allow them to try. She smiles and sighs.
Hard living.
Pedro Show. Yeah, that was the Deutsche Ashram with Leaf Cries Wolf. Then we had Fitted. Fitted is a prod with me and Bob Lee with Graham from Wire and the new guy, Matt Sims. I think he's been playing with them 10 years. Like Steve Shelley, he's always the new guy, right? 25 years, 30 years down the road. The chunk that got chewed. That whole prod had one prac, one gig. And we made an album that's pretty intense sometimes. The new days of being able to collaborate people over the internet, like you just given some songs and somebody reacting to it. It's not all bad new days because we got tech that's econo and adaptable enough to facilitate that.
And I think it's a great way of using it and just getting on and moving forwards with music making anyway. I love the way the internet's opened it up for so many people.
Yeah. It's like you can't blame the Benjamin Franklin for coming up with the post office just because people write shitty letters. Okay, Invisible Chains after that with Sal Mineo Rub-A-Dub. The New Alliance put that up. Carla Bozlich. Is this an 87 or something?
Yeah.
Crane's on there too. Wish Granters. I'm playing bass on this. Yeah, this is a Creedence song, Long As I See the Light. Jamie from Wales came over to Pedro and recorded some songs with Vince Moroney and Jimmy. Wow. Always a Kill. And Craig Abauer just put this on. Nate Young, Brand New Crumpled Body. Nicholas Mayers with The Great American Tail. But that's A-I-L. Homonym. Get it? The nose knows. They can see the sea. Okay. The Great Under Surveillance by M.B. Jones out of Pusan and finally Kings out of Canada with Black Highway Hymn. Back to AJ. How long did it take to do this record?
I started thinking about it 2 years ago, and I slowly started etching ideas out. And the thing is, I'm busy with so many different other things.
Yep.
You know, I've put out, like, I think 4 albums in the last 2 years, and I try and do everything in a cycle, so
sure.
I'll just focus on a King Champion sounds thing, get that out of the way, and then I'll dive into the next thing. And this was, you know, I'd just done the Common Cold album, King Champion sounds album, and this came up next. And then, I think for a solid year and a half, I was just working really, really hard on it. First, you know, I write and record all the music myself in my studio, and that takes an incredible amount of time. I've got to hold down a job and a family life, and then, you know, cycle to the studio every evening and lock myself in till late into the night, and that will take days off and all spend all weekends doing it.
It's okay, then, Jay.
Yeah.
No wine before it's time. You know, that's the thing about a side project, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you got a main life going, like you said, a family and all that.
Well, totally, yeah. But, you know, the music is my life, so I just try and make as much time as I can for it.
Well, like at the Paradiso, you're also making it possible for other cats to do music.
Well, that's it, yeah. And that's the great part of being there. You're part of the wheels of, you know, making that dream happen, come to reality for a lot of people who are touring bands out there, because, you know, folks want to play there, so our job is just to make sure that venue is the best it can be on every level and every front.
It's beautiful. My first Dutch gig next month, it'll be 37 years.
Whoa.
Five Minute Man. We're at the end of the first hour, January 3, 2020. This is Watt Pedro Show special guest AJ. Hold tight for hour two. January 3rd, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
27. година. До тогаш Международната заедница предозвола сигна, петинг. Пипкане, гледане, дистанца, петинг. Ки ви се явиме? Тит-тит-тит, статива.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
started the second hour off with the Stumbleweed, Deutsche Ashram. And that got me and AJ talking off air about the Meat Puppets, because they used to cover Tumble and Tumbleweeds. So Stumbleweed made me think of that. Was it like really strong Mota? Or?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Now, Holland, you know, and when I first toured, like, we also were talking off air, people, about Paradiso being my first gig. And it'll be next month, 37 years. And in those days, there was no Leaf Mota in Europe. It was all Haitian. Probably came from Lebanon and Turkey and Morocco or whatever. And it was really strong, and it choked you out. And the Dutch guys were the first ones to get together with Leafs, growing Leaf. And hydroponic.
Hydroponic, yeah. Well, back in the day, all the venues in Holland actually used to have a coffee shop inside the venue. So, you know, you could roll up, take all your equipment out of the van, get it all set up, and before sound check, you'd probably just walk over to the in-house coffee shop, buy your supplies, and be blown away for the rest of the day, I guess. There always used to be a saying in Holland was like, if there's ever a band that comes from abroad and you really love that band, make sure you go to the first gig of that tour, because they won't have discovered the weed by then, but by the second show they will have, and it will probably not be as good as the first show.
You know, we ran our Dutch dude Carlos, right? So we Utrecht Pro Code equipment, and then we rent the, you know, Ned cars or whatever the fuck, Lahore, and it's painted all over the boat. So you're rolling through Germany, of course, Poland's eye. You know, one time outside Stuttgart, pull us over, and this is 2006 or something. Open up for Chili Peppers with Missing Man, and you know, so where's the Haitian, you know? I said, like, you'd have to be a total idiot to drive around. He says, we can get the dogs. I said, get the dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't got it. They took everything out at a rest stop and just left it there. Didn't even say sorry or anything. God, it was so, remind me of the hombre here.
Oh, well, I'll tell you who the worst are. It's there's two. The Bavarian police are really bad, and the French police, the Douane people, they're really bad. But the Bavarian police, you'll be driving down the autobahn on your way to Munich, and you'll see something in your tail mirror for about 10 kilometers, and before you know it, you'll see the lights flashing. They'll pull you over down the sides down a narrow country road. Have you take everything out the back of the van, and you know, with not even a smile or a courtesy hello, just grumpily tell you to take it all out, get the dogs through it, and then just drive off without even saying, oh, it's okay, sorry to have bothered you or anything. So beware if you're in Bavaria.
You know, it can happen anywhere. Beware everywhere. Illinois, I think it's, you know, all the West Coast states, we got it legal now, and I think
that's cool.
A couple days ago, Illinois just... Massachusetts is getting it. I mean, it's ridiculous, Jesus.
Yeah.
All the people made criminals because of that shit. Meanwhile, how many drunks have killed people and shit?
Yep. That's the other side of it.
Back to the music. Back to the music. Yeah. So we that was our discussion about Stumbleweed. We also played from Skopje, Verzbat Derzva from Bernays Propaganda. That's Brother Vasco and the leftists out of Seattle, Shuda. A Vicious Fence, that's Wasco in Cleveland, playing with Tom Watson and Raul Morales from the Missing Man, and Pete Mazich, too. And Deutsche Ashram with Grip in Storm. What's this?
It's a pretty cool number, that one. I like that, Grip in Storm.
What's the backstory? I mean, some people don't like to talk. They say, "Why? We already made the music. Why we got to talk about it?"
Well, I don't mind talking about it, but the weird thing is, like, the lyrical side of it, that's really Marinda's world, and I never interfere on that side of things. I always just hand her the music, and she's the one who delivers the lyrics. So that if there's, you know, if there are questions associated with the actual meanings of songs, etc., I kind of tend to shy away from that, because that's... And it's interesting because I never really question her about her lyrics. I mean, I obviously when I'm recording her in the studio, I hear what she's singing, etc. But I never question her about, you know, what it's about or who it's about or where she's trying to go with it. Because, you know, I love the mystery behind it, and I kind of want to retain that. I have my own theories and ideas, but I've never ever pushed her on that side of things at all.
That's so good, because I want to hear Slack Jaw refrain right now.
walking 6 feet tall. Carried violets in his large rough hand, and he would always say for Maribel, the prettiest woman in the land. Maribel turned from her work, so pleased would smile and stand, and wait for him to say for Maribel, the prettiest woman in the land. And work line hands, yet love lit up her eyes to hear, oh Maribel, the prettiest woman in the land. Today I think upon his gift, love given from his heart and hands. Oh, where are all the violets now? And the prettiest woman. The snow, for she's beside her violet man. Forever he'll rest near Maribel, the prettiest woman in the land. The prettiest woman in the land. The prettiest woman in the land.
next to flames, flickering blossom over in slow motion. Spring 40 seasons, the focus out of reasons.
Watt from Pedro Show. You know, there was a germ song where the title had everything to do with the song. It's called The Other Newest One, because Kate told me, Pat said, they have two new songs.
Yeah.
Is this the new one? No, this is the other newest one. So, people, we heard Slackjaw Refrain, Deutsche Ashram, The Violent Man from Dan Jones and the Squids out of Kansas City, Mesthetics, Inner Ocean. Joe Lally has moved back from Italy to D.C., and he's with Brendan there, and a pretty intense guitar man. What's his name? God, this guy.
I don't know. That guy wails.
Kind of. You know about this Mesthetics kind of math?
Yeah. I saw them playing in the New Paradies. I saw them last summer. They came over and they were opening for De Kift.
What's that Paradiso called? It's a couple miles away. Well, it's not that far, but to get to it, you have to go over a canal, right?
Yeah, you have to go over the river or take the tunnel over the river. But it's Paradiso Nord, yeah. But that's where the Mesthetics played. It was great to see the Fugazi rhythm section at work. I mean, what an unbelievable duo those two guys are.
And Joe Lally, you know, I saw Ian last tour I just did, and he told me him and Amy's got a band with Joe Lally too.
Oh,
called Cirque, something.
Oh,
like
right.
This. Yeah,
are they planning to record something?
Two trios now. I think they're making an album right now.
Oh, cool. That'd be good.
Then Andre Vita out of Berlin with Smishtongzita. Zita, I know it's a kind of pasta. Guided by Voices. On New Year's Eve here, they did a 100-tune gig.
Wow. Well, I've toured with those guys in the past. What? I was their sound engineer, driver, and tour manager. Let me tell you that I've got quite a few stories from that road trip.
Yeah.
Those guys were. I'm still friends with them all, but they were a class apart on every front. They lived the dream. Let's put it that way.
Doug's incredible guitar.
Doug Gillard was on guitar. I'm still in touch with him. And,
Mark on bass. Yeah,
amazing guitar player. But unbelievable band. Great guys, you know. And Bob was just a tour de force. One of the things I loved about touring with bands was aside, you know, from doing the sound for, you know, great bands, was hanging out. But the knowledge of music that a lot of these cats had, and Bob Pollard's knowledge of, you know, 60s psych and 70s psych music was unbelievable. I mean, he tapped me onto so much stuff, and he was, you know, he knew all the record shops in London, for example, you know, the kind of boutique collectors heavens. And he would, you know, give a call out to these shop owners, and, you know, on any given day, we'd just drive down to one of these stores, and the guy would open the stores just for him, and we could obviously go in. It was just, you know, and we just wade through this absolute heaven. This place was just filled, you know, with collector's items of vinyl which you'd never heard of, and you'd stick something on. He'd just tap you onto so much new stuff. So, yeah, Bob Pollard, he's a good guy.
He kind of sings with an English accent.
Yeah, he does. We're
at the end of the second hour, January 3rd, 2020. Special guest AJ, hold tight for hour three. January 3rd, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Put it over there, and then bring it from over here. for that one. Get a good look at it.
Sometimes we think of it like a fish in a sea, and we don't care about how dirty is our shirt, and we don't mind about living in a messy house too, 'cause we are peace, even clean is what we do.
All right. You don't know that you think about what was just done, and then maybe wonder, pick it back up, move from over there, take that.
But we don't care if that goes up to the roof. We know you want somewhere who makes you feel secure. But we are kids, babe, and plain is what we do.
Go back. Get the whole time about why or what or how. But instead, what it's for. Sit down. Take a rest. Think about it. Ponder and let it go. Your mind floating, piece of it untangled, becoming one with whatever.
Oh,
Correct.
Watt from Pedro Show. We started the third off hour off with Welcome from Buja Boy, which is a new proj that AJ's got going. We got a play from Alexander the Large Philharmonic Orchestra out of Milano, but he's a Bari guy. Crane with the Topia song, he's in Idaho. Another Umbrella from late great Richard Derrick Lewis Cole with More Love, Less Hate, and Soul, which probably Spanish for a son, maybe, from Budgin Boy.
Yeah.
Which
so
is
on.
A combination of an Irish word for boy and then a word from India.
A Hindu word Hindu meaning word. Religious song.
Right, right. So tell us about this project, AJ.
It's been something that's been cooking in my head for years now, and I needed an outlet to put it out. I didn't, the songs and ideas I had, I didn't think would fit within a band framework. So I was really self-indulgent and thought, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Make something that I really want to do myself without anybody else looking over my shoulder or having to refer to other people for their approval. So I went ahead and recorded all these songs. I'd sketched out demos and then just went into the studio, locked myself in for about 2-3 months and just worked and worked and worked and got it mixed last month and I mastered it in Berlin. And this is the fruition of all that work, are these 12 tracks.
And it's just you.
It's just me, nobody else. I did collaborate with two people.
A couple of tunes say featuring, yeah.
Yeah, and one cat from the Pacific Northwest called William Soul. He goes under the name Prana Crafter. He's a kind of guitar solo player, kind of heavy psych guitar dude. He lives out in the woods up in 100 miles west of Portland out in the forests with his family. So I tapped him up for one track. And
west of
track,
Portland? Is that in the ocean?
No, well, the northwest of Portland, not directly. Northwest.
It's yeah, kind because of, it's kind the of, mouth of the just, Columbia River.
Well, it's kind of near, I think it's just kind of near between Olympia and Portland, but
in Washington State.
Washington State, yeah.
Okay. You know, it's funny, when you're going up the I-5, there's a Vancouver on the border between Oregon and Washington, and then the big one everyone knows Washington State and Canada. And I'm wondering if people are like, what the fuck?
I've got there. I've reached it already. Oh, no, you haven't. You've still got a few hundred miles to drive.
Now, talking about projects on the side, you would put this one down and come back to, or you were talking about locking yourself away, and it was like, extended periods?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I've got a studio which I built, which is like a 2-minute bike ride away from my house, so it's really convenient just to straight after dinner or just to cycle there and then just literally go in, lock the doors, make a big pot of tea, and then just work for 4 or 5 hours, or sometimes take a couple of days off work and then, you know, work, clock in at 9 in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, finish at 6, have my dinner, go home for dinner, come back 7:30, and lock myself away again till, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning. Just work. I did that for a few months on end, and just really grind it out. Just do it. Just go forwards. And it was really inspiring. You know, sometimes I would think, I would listen back to it and I would think, not too sure. Other times I would listen back and I'd just get into a trance of listening to it. I was so hooked by it that I just hit repeat again and go and listen to it again. So then I knew I was on the right track.
Okay, I want to hear a Sleep on King's Mount.
All right. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Kill rap niggas unapologetically. Rest in peace as I lead a booth left in pieces. Allegedly Kendrick the best rapper now. Nigga please, every line I write I'm smoking niggas like a gram of weed. Casualty of warfare, now we dead. We'll go after J. Cole, but I'm too far ahead. Real life, even Loof ain't couldn't hold me. I'm knocking legends off, disrespecting all the OGs. Lyrically, I got zero affinity. Fuck your feature, I'm the future, nigga, use a memory. Criminal mind breaking in the rap industry. I'm that new nigga that's in charge, God sent, God sent. These niggas fucking up the art and the culture. Flawless with the flow, I'm on this beat like a chauffeur. Shaking up the rap game, now they got that whole twerk. If I never went to jail, rapping would've been work. These rap niggas don't want no problems. They don't want no problems. These rap niggas don't want no problems. They don't want no problems. These rap niggas don't want no problems. They don't want no problems. These rap niggas don't want no problems. Be the hardest nigga out there, McSeen. Believe it's this nigga here that you never seen. Elohim, living in this cold world, I'm sunlight. Square ass rappers boxing at a gunfight. I see him acting gay now, automatic adversary. Mediocre rappers, middle school vocabulary. Heard you on them drugs, rapping like you brain dead. Claiming you's a artist, nigga use a bass head. No subliminals, I'm coming after all these rappers. I ain't even taking shots, nigga, this target practice. Target practice. Immaculate, bars be impeccable. Niggas you be rapping with don't even sound respectable. Sucker MC, still in style like I got several. This is when the rap game meets an intellectual. Serving niggas bars, God flow. I'm the devil though, modern day Pharaoh. Nile flow, just to let you know, nigga. Niggas rap niggas don't want no problems. They don't want no problems. These rap niggas don't want no problems.
somebody who paved his own path.
Oh, of course.
And he took no prisoners. And if you heard something, it was Mark. It was the Fall. It was, you know, sure, it was unique for him.
I saw him only once. He played here early 80s and with Blurt and Vine Horseman. And he stared at the kick drum the whole time. We got his culo.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And but I've been on Mr. Mark Riley's show in Manchester. And I've heard some things. And, man, I love Dragnet. I wish it could have been recorded like the first. I love the first album. I really only know it up to Grotesque. See, I'm like that. I have no patience. Blue Oyster Cult, the same thing. Up to the fifth album, I can't hear it anymore. And it ain't the band's fault, you know. Maybe it's me. I'm moving on. I can't.
That's mostly the case with a lot of listeners. People kind of think, I've heard this now, and I don't really need to hear it repeated. But it's one of those things, again, with the Fall, I mean, I've loved them from day one and stuck with them through thick and thin. They never, never, ever stop surprising me. They never, ever stop. Yeah, and I can still go back to things, listen back to things that they recorded later on, and I can still hear new things in those records which I didn't hear the first time around, and I think, well, that's a sign of something cool, something great going on. You know, if you can still pick out new things from stuff you think you've heard 100 times over, but you can still take something new from it, then you're doing something right. And they were definitely a band that did that.
What? Grotesque. I think Slags was after Grotesque. So I made it up to Slags. But man, I love all them records.
What about Hex Induction Hour?
That's the one after. That's where they kind of lost me. There's a live one, too, that's early on.
Total's Turn.
Nah, I don't like that one so much. But I love I love Dragnet, the first. And then I love Slags, Grotesque, and the first album. First album's got such giant drums. I asked Mark Riley about that.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, because he's the only guy who knew how to play. So we turned that up real loud.
Yeah.
And he told me about Mark Smith, getting them all riled up before a gig just to get some attitude going. So
absolutely.
We spent a lot of time in Black Flag, and there was a lot of mind games in that bit. That's the way some dudes do it. Let me tell the people what we heard up. The Bougie Boy, not Bougie. That's Devo, right? Bougie Boy. Bougie Boy. With the Sleep on King's Mountain, International Debt with Kepler 16B, Collective Tunnels Part 1 from Radical Empathy Trio. Speaking of wild guitars, Nels Klein's on that. And DJ Wrights with Problems. And finally, Stuck in a Barrel, Boojam Boy, is from the Proj. And when this comes out, we're going to have you back on and talk a lot more of this, because I like this idea. Well, you're writing for just you. It's not a band.
That's right. Yeah, it's I have nobody to answer to. Well, that's it. I mean, it's like with anything. I have nobody to answer to. I have nobody else to blame except myself for the whole thing. And if I'm not happy with it, then I wouldn't have put it out in any shape or form. But I've listened back to it several times now, and I just can't stop listening to it. And I think, well, you know what? It's okay. This record, I really, really like it. I think there's a lot of different things going on in it, and it's like a journey. It's a one-hour journey. You get carried along on this journey. You don't know which way the road's going to turn, but there's always a surprise around every corner, and I love that.
Which, like, Stuck in the Barrel is not appropriate.
Yeah, no.
That's just one place in the journey. Where can people find you on the internet? What's your website? Tell me.
I don't
have at least anything. A Bandcamp thing, right?
Not yet, no. I haven't even got that up. No, I really want to try and see if I can find a label to release the album, and if not, then I'm just going to borrow some money and put it out myself.
What about an AJCigar.com site, just so nobody else steals your fucking name?
Well, maybe I should do something like
you
that.
You should, because you know what I mean? At the end of the day, these other companies, they're just telephone poles to put up the flyer. You need your fanzine home.
You're right. No, it's true. You're absolutely right. And you know, we have the ways and means to do it.
That's
so, yeah. I guess we should.
The future belongs to the efficient.
Yeah.
Look, it's Steve been a Austin big, big honor. You know, I've known you many, many years, but you're really getting fruitful with your output. You always was an aidant and an abettor. You always aided and abetted, and now you're the plowman. Now you're a plowman also.
Well, that, Well, do you know how that came about? It's when I stopped touring with bands 8.5 years ago, and I got I got the full time job at the Paradiso. It was when I was away aiding and abetting other people. I didn't have the time always to do it. I did do it, but I wasn't as proficient as I am now. And now in the last 8.5 years, I've used that time that I've been given to the max, and you know, I put out like 7 albums, 5 singles. I've toured all over Europe several times, and I just keep planning to go on with it. So that's the reason the change came about.
I think the world's a richer place for it. So well, thank cool. you for bringing it. Really, we'll talk again when the album comes out. Okay, thanks again for being on the show, people. It's been the January 3rd, 2020. 2020, like when you have good eyesight. Yeah. Edition of the Watford Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.